They cut your podcast conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. For this deep dive, we are heading down under, way down under. We're tackling a continent that's, well, famously extreme.
That's right, a place defined by paradox. We're jumping into Bill Bryson's brilliant travelogue, In a Sunburned Country.
Or, as many people outside the U.S. know it, Down Under. Same book, two titles.
Exactly. And our mission today is really to get under the skin of this place, understand how it can be statistically one of the most lethal places on Earth for wildlife.
Right, everything wants to kill you, apparently.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yet, somehow, the people there are famously, maybe even genuinely, some of the most relaxed and friendly folks you'll ever meet. How does that work?
It's a fascinating question, and it matters because, well, Australia often gets overlooked, doesn't it? Sort of slips off the global radar.
Mm.
But its story, wow. Unique evolution, incredible human resilience, just the sheer scale of it. It tells us so much about how people adapt and, frankly, about the raw power of nature.
Absolutely. If you want a case study in how environment shapes culture, this is it.
So the guide for this journey couldn't be better. Bill Bryson.
Yeah, Bill Bryson. Most people know him. American author, journalist, famous for his travel writing, but also popular science stuff, too.
Born in Iowa, but crucially, he spent a lot of time living in the UK.
And that's key, isn't it? That dual perspective. He sees Australia not just as an American tourist.
Right, yeah.
But also through a sort of British influence lens, understanding that kind of shared history, but also the global ignorance about the place. He comes in fresh, but with context.
And his style is just perfect for this. That mix of very self-deprecating humor. He's always the slightly baffled traveler.
So I'm leaning around.
But combined with this really sharp wit and just this endless curiosity, he makes complicated things, geology, biology, whatever, feel accessible because he asks the questions we'd all ask.
Exactly. He's not pretending to be the expert on, you know, marsupial evolution or the penal colonies.
No.
He's the ultimate outsider. The one asking the supposedly stupid questions that maybe locals don't even think about anymore. Why is the capital there? Why do people live underground in that one town?
And that's what makes it work for an international audience. You need that perspective to even start to grasp how, well, eccentric Australia can be.
Precisely. It's not just about laughs, though it is very funny. It's about setting the record straight,
mm-hmm.
showing Australia is way more interesting and complex than just kangaroos and koalas.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself. In a Sunburned Country, what's the core idea?
Well, fundamentally, it's Bryson's attempt to, like, correct the world's massive blind spot about Australia, moving way past the easy cliches, the opera house, the Great Barrier Reef.
Although he does cover those too.
Oh, yeah. But it's much broader. It's this rambling personal journey, but backed by a ton of research. He weaves together geography, history, the bizarre biology, the unique culture.
And it all circles back to that central paradox we mentioned. The intense danger versus the incredibly laid-back people. That's really the engine driving the book, isn't it?
Absolutely. The idea he keeps coming back to is that this place, which statistically has more than its fair share of deadly creatures, you know, the spiders, the snakes, the jellyfish, sharks.
The list goes on.
It really does. But somehow dealing with all that doesn't seem to make people neurotic or fearful. Instead, it seems to have fostered, I don't know, resilience, a dark sense of humor, maybe just really strong community bonds.
Yeah, like a collective shrug in the face of constant peril.
Kind of. And Bryson tries to figure this out by, well, going everywhere. The scope is huge.
Mm-hmm.
He travels across the vast emptiness of the outback.
Mm.
And contrast that with the very civilized, almost European feel of the southeastern coast, like Sydney and Melbourne.
Then there's Canberra, the planned capital, which is its own kind of weirdness.
Definitely weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up to the tropical, top end, Darwin, crocodiles, the whole bit. And then finally into spiritual heartland, the red center, Uluru.
So it's really trying to paint a full picture, right? A portrait of a country that just refuses to fit into neat boxes, a place built on, I suppose, quiet survival, forgotten stories, and a landscape that doesn't compromise.
Okay, so let's dig into that journey a bit more.
Mm.
You really can't talk about Australia without first grappling with the sheer size of it.
Oh, absolutely. That's hurdle number one, what Bryson calls the tyranny of distance.
Yeah.
He takes the Indian Pacific train right across the Nullarbor Plain, and that journey just slams it home.
The Nullarbor.
Yeah.
It's just this enormous, flat, treeless expanse.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's, what, bigger than Great Britain?
Bigger than Great Britain, just empty space. It's hard to even comprehend.
It is. He talks about staring out the window for like hours and seeing absolutely nothing. Or as he quotes a local saying, just bugger all.
Uh-huh. Right. And that isolation, that vastness, it shaped everything. The wildlife, how people settled, that kind of rugged, independent spirit.
Definitely. But then you contrast that immense scale with the human history, which is often, well, kind of foolish or tragic even.
Yeah, starting right from the beginning, the founding of the penal colony in Sydney, Governor Phillip and the First Fleet just struggling to survive in a place they completely misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Total mismatch.
And that leads you straight to stories like Burke and Wills, the explorers.
Oh, Burke and Wills, the classic example of spectacular failure due to underestimating the outback.
Totally. They basically died because they tried to impose European methods, heavy equipment, strict schedules onto a landscape that demanded something totally different. Flexibility, adaptation.
Their story is almost a symbol, isn't it? The danger of just not being prepared for the scale and, frankly, the indifference of the continent.
So shifting from that history to the sort of surreal side of modern Australia, Bryson finds Canberra pretty odd.
Oh, yeah. The purpose-built capital. It feels a bit sterile,
mm-hmm.
artificial. Like it exists because of a political compromise, not because the city naturally grew there.
Right. A bit soulless, maybe?
Perhaps. And it's here he gets into some of the stranger bits of political folklore, like Prime Minister Harold Holt.
Oh, the disappearance, 1967, right? Went for a swim.
And just vanished. Poof. Gone. No trace.
It's incredible.
And Bryson almost treats it like a metaphor for the country itself. You know, in a place where danger is just around, even the prime minister could just disappear, swallowed by the environment, and the nation just sort of shrugs and moves on.
Hmm. That collective shrug again. But it makes you wonder, though, when Bryson talks about how cheerful and laid-back Australians are, does he dig into whether that comes at a cost? Is that resilience, maybe? Exhausting? Is he maybe romanticizing it a bit?
That's a really good point. He definitely celebrates the Aussie character, but I think he does acknowledge the sheer effort involved. Look at Cooper Patey.
Right, the opal mining town.
Where everyone lives underground, in these dugouts, just to escape the insane heat on the surface.
Right, that's not just being laid back, that's radical adaptation.
Exactly. It shows that survival there takes constant work, constant ingenuity. Which maybe explains why they value their downtime and that friendliness so much. It's hard-earned relaxation.
He also hit some really poignant notes about loss, particularly down in Tasmania.
Yeah, the Tasmanian tiger, the thylacine, its extinction is devastating.
Such a unique creature. Gone. And the history of Port Arthur, the convict prison there, brutal stuff.
It brings in that theme of, well, the destruction that came with European settlement. It wasn't just building, it was also erasing.
And that theme of loss becomes absolutely central when he talks about the Aboriginal peoples.
Mm-hmm. Massively important. He's visiting these incredibly powerful landscapes like Uluru and Carachuta, but he's consciously trying to understand their spiritual meaning, a connection stretching back, what is it, 60,000 years?
Something staggering like that, almost unimaginable length of time.
And what makes Bryson's take valuable here, I think, is that he doesn't sanitize the history. He expresses real shame, real regret about the massacres, the theft of land, the crushing of cultures that happened after Europeans arrived.
He makes it clear that understanding that deep ancient connection to the land and the tragedy of its near destruction is fundamental to understanding modern Australia. Its silences, its ongoing struggles.
Yeah, it's not just a side note. It's presented as a core part of the country's identity, or at least the identity it's grappling with. A critique of historical blindness.
And then from that deep history, he pivots again, up to the top end, near Darwin. Different landscape, same basic message. Nature is intense.
Totally. You swap the desert spirits for giant saltwater crocodiles lying in wait.
Yeah, terrifying.
And cyclones that can literally flatten cities, like Cyclone Tracy did to Darwin back in 74.
It just keeps hammering home that idea. This land isn't tamed. Not really. Whether it's the dry heart or the humid north, nature calls the shots.
So, after painting this huge, complex, sometimes contradictory picture, what are the big lessons we're supposed to take away?
Okay, let's try and boil it down. Theme number one has to be the paradox of danger and resilience.
Right. This core idea that constant, serious environmental challenges don't necessarily create a fearful society. Maybe they do the opposite.
Yeah, maybe they forge character.
Yeah.
Build resilience, a kind of gallows humor, a real reliance on each other. That easygoing vibe might actually be a very practical survival strategy.
Makes sense.
Okay, theme two.
The weight of unseen history. Bryson really pushes this. History isn't just the sanitized version in textbooks. It's weirder, often much sadder, more complicated. Understanding the stories beneath the surface, the convicts, the failed explorers, and especially the indigenous experience, is vital to understanding why Australia is the way it is today.
And that's a prompt for all of us, isn't it? Makes you think. What are the hidden histories, the complex stories in my own community, my own city, that shape things in ways I don't usually notice?
Exactly. Yeah, dig a bit.
Okay, and the third big one.
It has to be humanity's humbled relationship with nature. Australia is just this constant, stark reminder that nature is bigger than us.
It operates on scales, time scales, geographical scales that dwarf human concerns. It's powerful, active, often hostile, and ultimately uncontrollable.
It really forces you to drop any illusion of human dominance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It encourages respect, maybe even a bit of awe, and definitely a recognition of our own limits. Humbling is the right word.
And the book is just packed with lines that nail these ideas. Let's touch on a few key quotes or recurring thoughts.
Okay. Well, he sets up that core contradiction of the land itself really early on. Something like, it is the emptiest, flattest, hottest, driest, and yet it is brimming with life. A life of the most tough, contrary, and ferociously resolute character.
Yeah, that captures the ecosystem perfectly. Tough, stubborn life in a seemingly impossible place.
But then he immediately contrasts that harshness with the people. He says something like, the people are immensely likable, cheerful, extrovert, quick-witted, and unfailingly obliging. There's nothing not to like.
It's such high praise, and it highlights that stark opposition.
Yeah.
Brutal landscape, warm people.
And then, of course, there's the running gag, the line everyone remembers. Australia has more things that will kill you than anywhere else.
Huh. Yeah. It becomes this sort of humorous mantra throughout the book.
It perfectly captures that slightly obsessive, yet somehow pragmatic, awareness of danger lurking everywhere, whether it's a tiny spider or, you know, a tree that can sting you into agony.
So beyond just being a great travel read, what are the practical takeaways here? How can we apply some of this?
Well, one big one is something we touched on with Bryson himself. Embracing the outsider's perspective, that beginner's mind.
Right. He models it so well, looking at things fresh, asking the basic questions, not just accepting assumptions because they're familiar.
Exactly. And you can apply that anywhere. Your job, your studies, even your relationships. Try approaching something you think you know well, as if you're seeing it for the first time. Ask the dumb questions. You might be surprised what you uncover.
Definitely. Okay, another application.
How about adopting the Aussie shrug? The power of humor in adversity. Bryson constantly runs into minor disasters, feels genuine fear sometimes.
Yeah, he doesn't hide it.
But his reaction is usually that self-deprecating humor, that sort of pragmatic acceptance. Well, this is happening now.
That's such a useful tool, isn't it? Using humor not just to cope, but as a form of resilience. If you can laugh even darkly at things going wrong, they have less power over you. It's that laid-back pragmatism in action.
Mm-hmm. Stops things from overwhelming you. And the last one.
I think it's simply challenging preconceptions. The whole book is basically an extended argument against judging a place or its people based on simplistic stereotypes.
Yeah. Australia is not just beaches and barbecues and dangerous animals. It's so much more complex, so much stranger, so much more interesting.
So the tip there is practice cultural humility. Be genuinely open-minded. Assume your preconceptions about any new place, any new culture, any new idea are probably wrong, or at least incomplete. Be ready to be surprised.
Complexity is always more rewarding than the cliche.
So, wrapping up, what was the thing that surprised you most revisiting this?
For me, I think it was being reminded of the sheer integration of the tragedy, especially the indigenous history, with the landscape. Bryson doesn't treat them as separate. The beauty feels deeper, but also heavier because of that history. It's intertwined.
Yeah, that's powerful. For me, maybe it's just the pure celebration of paradox, how Australia proves that contradictions aren't necessarily flaws.
Right.
That terrifying and welcoming can coexist. Brutal history and beautiful present can be part of the same story. Maybe the true character of a place or even a person is that mix of contradictions. Australia shows how strength can come directly from facing extreme challenges.
Well put.
Yeah.
Which leads nicely into our final thought for you, the listener.
Yeah, something to mull over. If a place facing such extreme environmental hostility can foster such a resilient, humorous, and often optimistic society, what hidden challenge, what uncomfortable difficulty in your own life might actually hold the key to cultivating your best qualities if you were willing to really embrace it?
Something to think about, definitely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.